It's a blessing to see you all here that are here today, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Answers to prayers, protection, many things. God is good. He's at work. Let's give thanks and let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all you do in our lives, daily, moment by moment. Lord, I ask that you would bless the parts of the service yet to be here, that you would help us to share things that are from you, to hear things that are from you, to take these things and learn from them and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to share, starting looking in Matthew 14, and the phrase that jumped out at me that is the phrase I want to keep coming back to is Jesus saying, "Bring them hither to me." And I want to look at this from a couple different aspects or angles, realizing that whatever it is that we need, whatever it is that we're dealing with, we can bring it to Jesus, and there will be what we need. And you know, he knows better than we know what it is that we need. And sometimes we don't understand why we don't get the answer we were expecting. But God knows all, and his ways are perfect. Matthew 14, starting in verse 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." You know, the power of God doesn't lie in the quantity that we bring to him. It's not limited by, you know, oh, well, you only brought 5, I guess we can only feed so many. It's endless. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, knew, understood the depths of that power. Do we connect with that power? Do we have that unwavering faith that is able to tap into the things that the Lord has for those that fully trust him? Sometimes it's so easy to doubt, but how can we do that? We've seen so much. Why are we still, at times, having to question anything? Jesus simply said, "Bring them hither to me," and then he didn't say to his father, "If it be possible that, you know, we could stretch this further than usual." He just blessed and started dividing because he knew there was enough. It was in his hands. So I'd like to look at this from 2 different angles. One is that God can do much with little or nothing. And the other is that Christ wants us to bring our needs and situation, whatever it is, to him, and that there's nothing that he can't fix for those who believe in his power. So in other words, take what it is and bring it hither to him. I like that phrase right in the setting that it's in. And I like to just pull that out and look at those words in red and realize it's Jesus speaking, and he says, "Bring them hither to me." and apply that to any area that we need, because Jesus isn't limited in his ability to meet the need. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed life into him. You know, that passage in Judges where it speaks of Gideon and him needing to understand that truly the Lord was going to be with him and doing the things that needed to be done. And once he really understood that, I guess there came a point where here he was going against an innumerable multitude with 300 people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You don't go against an army that's not even able to be counted with 300 people. But God didn't want glory to go to man. And if they had taken all Israel, and I don't know what the count was at that time, and let's just say there were 50,000 people going against 4 million. Well, even so, if they had won the battle, they might have taken some pride in the fact that it was something of them. They were so good. And, you know, when you have 300 going against an innumerable multitude, those 300 didn't do it of their own strength. And God can take, when we're obedient, and only when we're obedient, that and make it work. Because it doesn't work otherwise. You know, Moses had some question in his mind as to his ability to be used, and God gave him a rod that he could throw down and it would become a serpent, and he could pick it up by the tail and it would become a rod again. God gave him something, a sign that he could both see for himself and that he could show others that there was power there that was beyond him. In 1 Kings 17, there's that little bit of food that was made to last as needed. It was interesting because the other day, Silas, excuse me, mentioning you on from the pulpit here, but you and I were on the same job, actually on different jobs on the same property. And the customer called and wondered if I could pick up some washers that Silas needed. And so I turned around, went back to Abishan and got the washers, and he said he needed 12, but more would be okay. And so I found two packages of 6, and they were about the right size. Did they work? And they work. Anyway, and so I brought them back and I gave them to him, and before he left, he said something about this passage about the food being made to last as needed, because it turned out that he needed 16 washers. And he had figured, well, I guess I'll have to leave 4 of these things that need washers till another time. And he just kept taking washers out of what I had given until all 16 were there to do, and just 16, right, to do what he needed to do. And, you know, it was just interesting how, I don't remember whether I prayed when I was in the store that I would get the right thing or not, but, you know, I just know that there aren't supposed to be 16 washers in a total of 2 packages of 6 each. What's the math on that, Spencer? 2 packages of 6 each. 12, that's right, not 16, right? But there were 16 washers when you needed them. And, you know, there may have been other packages there. If I think about it, I'm going to go back and look and see if other packages have 8 that are sitting on the rack. I'm going to take 1 or 2 more of those down and look at them and see if there's 8 in each package. But, or it may be that God just wanted to, because Silas and I both looked to him, wanted to show something that, look, God can do this still. And it was there. He had what he needed. And, you know, God has not lost his touch. And he wants to do those things that will bring glory to his name ultimately. I'm going to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 to 29. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, we can't do these things that God can do. We can't take a few loaves and fishes and say, okay, guys, sit down, and start handing it out. Now, if we believe that God is calling us to feed those people and that that's what he's showing us to use, God can do it, and he can use the things in our hands, and he can bless them. But it's God's power. Now I'd like to look at the other aspect of things here, and some of it may tie back and forth a little bit, but I'd like to start first in John 2, chapter 2, that is, verses 1 through 11, and then I'd like to share some thoughts. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I kind of get the picture that she is recognizing that this is beyond me. This is something that needs the touch of God. And she, because obviously she was a very blessed woman, and there were things that she was willing to receive from God that not everybody would have been in a position to receive, to say the least, that here, maybe it was just God telling her it is his time. His time is coming right now. But she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Wow. So she brought the situation to him, and having the power of God, he simply told them what to do, and they did it. And it was better than anybody could have expected, other than God himself, or those who were truly believing that this was going to be just what it should be. Maybe his mother was just expecting something like that to happen. How expectant are we of help when we come to the Lord with something? Are we expecting to have happen what we're asking for? So, in some things,
we can find ourselves looked to as a problem solver, either as a dad or a mom or an older sibling or whatever, you know, whether it's opening the jar that has the tight lid on it, you know, somebody brings you one, they're like, here, and you open it up, and helping to put out a fire or getting someone to the hospital to save their life or taking a tree down that threatens a power line or a building, getting gas to someone who's out of gas or opening a homeless shelter. Now, what do all of these things have in common?
Showing compassion.
They take action. Absolutely. But are any of these things of themselves, going to make an eternal impact? So even if you open a homeless shelter and you take people in, unless you are truly drawing from Christ, drawing from God, or if you're helping somebody who's out of gas, there's a lot of people who are just quote-unquote good people out there who are doing things because at the end of the day, it feels good to have made somebody else feel good and makes them feel good about life or makes them feel purpose in life. But Jesus takes it deeper than that. And when he helps, when it's a sickness, when it's a, he might say, so that you know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk, you know, or something like that. He, when Jesus or man operating in the spirit of Christ will, help in situations, it's that bring them hither to me. It's like, are we leaning on Christ and speaking of Christ in the things that we do? Or are we just doing good? The power of God brings enlightenment. I'd like to read some notes from the back of my Bible here. And just have to find the right page here. All right. So here there are a few different sections in the back of my Thompson Chain Reference Bible talking about the secrets of the heart. All the ways of men are known to God and God's knowledge of the saints. And they have some key verses here that I'd like to read. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. I like to think that when we bring something to Jesus, when he says, bring it hither to me, that he already knows what's going on. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? When Jesus spoke to these people, he knew already what was going on. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Another verse, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. In that section, I just wanted to share there, Jesus knows our thinking. And then there are numerous verses mentioned that relate to all the ways of men are known to God. And then also a few more verses The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael didn't know what to make of that, because as far as he knew, Jesus wasn't anywhere around at that time. Jesus has the power of God, and we can have the power of God working in us and through us if we are working with him and trusting him and believing him. Jesus knew the heart of the thief on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he was able to tell him, This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He knew the answers to the questions he asked those who did not recognize him on the road to Emmaus. He was asking them questions like, what is this that you're talking about? And they're like, could you be a stranger here and not know the things that have been going on? And things along those lines, he knew. He knew all the answers. And then people coming to him come with different types of problems, whether they had seven devils or whether their problem was, whatever their problem was or is, they can still be made whole. Jesus is alive and well. There's no limitation. You know, those things that you or I may struggle with or deal with just need to be brought to him. And, you know, when he was in the flesh, he was meeting needs right up till the end. He saw his mother and John, I believe it was, or the beloved disciple nearby, and he's like making arrangements so that she would look at this disciple as a son and he would look at her as his mother, and the disciple opened up his home to Mary at that point. And so Jesus was always sensing and meeting needs. And what should or may we ask him today, and are we prepared for him to answer? You know, sometimes the answer that we're given when we want the Lord's will isn't easy for us to have to deal with in the things that he asks of us in connection with that. How do we get there? It begins with just coming to him, excuse me, remembering he already knows the need. You know, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Something like, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has a knowledge of what it is that we need, and he wants us to come. It involves walking honestly, putting off the works of darkness, making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, as it says in Romans 13. And, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And prior to that, the two verses before says, The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We need to be prepared. We need to deal with the things that need to be gotten out of our hearts in order to ask and expect to receive. We need to be willing to yield things that need to be dealt with in our lives. Trusting him, stepping away from dependence on our own thinking, acknowledging him in everything so that he can direct our paths. Those who come in full faith seeking wisdom, James says, let him ask of God,
that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So there's a coming in faith. That's another prerequisite. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This calls for action as we call out to the Lord. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. If we want the Lord to hear us, and we're dealing with some form of temptation, when we call out to him, we need to also be going away from the thing that is posing a threat and calling out to him, knowing that he has said that he will make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. First Corinthians 10, 13 and 14 says, oh, that's the one I just read, okay, that ye may be able to bear it and to flee from idolatry. And then when we sincerely seek Christ, we start to be like him. His fruit will become manifest in our lives. There will be love and joy and peace, as well as long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are not things that we necessarily always are sure we want when we first are coming to the Lord about something. Do I really want long-suffering? Do I really want meekness in my life? Do I want all of these things? But when we begin to walk with Christ, we see the value, we see the wisdom in walking in this way. I have in closing, little article that I saved on my phone here that I think is still here. Yes, it is. I'd lost it earlier. I had to re-find it. And it's from Bible Notes online. And it says, the people Jesus meets. The Gospels record many of the meetings Jesus had with different individuals. We see in all these interactions how Jesus spoke to the person and answered their different needs and questions. Jesus had, and of course still has, the divine ability to know what was in the heart of every person, and so was able to challenge, instruct, and answer them in a personal way. In the accounts of the meetings Jesus had with various people, we can see that whatever the person's background, beliefs, personality, and issues, they were immediately and individually known and understood by Jesus. Often it is the reply of Jesus that allows us some insight into the nature of the person's heart. He perceived the underlying condition of every human often more clearly even than the individual themselves. We see that, in spite of all kinds of human failure, Jesus appeals to the person in their need to show them that he is the answer to their need. We see that when Jesus interacts with people, he is utterly faithful, truthful, and consistent with them. He probes their innermost condition and deals with it head on. We see therefore how Jesus is the healer of all human failure, physically and mentally in the consequence of a fallen world and spiritually in the corruption of the human soul. The healing which Jesus gives is not a temporary cure, but a complete and permanent cure, because it is a relationship with himself, the master physician. His healing remedy is not just kind words of comfort, nor some life advice, nor even some medicinal potion, but is himself and his spirit becoming like a stream of life-giving water to nurture, feed, and quench the thirst of every human need. In all these cases, we see how Jesus knew the individual need of the people he met, how he answered that need, and how the person was changed by that meeting. And Jesus is still doing this today, meeting people and dealing with their condition. You know, there's a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot to look to the Lord for. We just need to be prepared for his answer. We also need to realize that some people are going to come to us and look to us
for his answers. And so we need to be filled with his Spirit. We need to be walking closely with him so that we have answers that are from him.